I totally agree with your guest that there just is virtually no services for families that are homeless in this community. There is, Families in Transition, which is completely full. There are just absolutely no openings there, and it does have kind of a case-managed approach. There's also the New Life Center, which has this very distinctly Christian overtone, but it's grossly inadequate for the need that's out there, and the harm that's being done to families and their children. It's resulting in many, many children being taken away from their natural parents and either placed in foster homes or in juvenile hall, which is a completely inappropriate place for young people to be raised.
Right. That's exactly what they do. Majority of them don't end up in foster care. They do send them to juvenile hall. You know, and this is what the child is, his crime is being homeless. So his crime now is go to juvenile hall because you're homeless. And that's very wrong. I agree with the lady very much. And that's what I'm trying to say is, why don't we have services for families in Santa Cruz?
Hi, caller. You're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi. You mentioned Karen Gillette a little earlier, and that name just always gets my craw. I wanted to throw in there, I think she's one of the most deplorable people walking our streets today.
Why do you say that, caller?
She, in order to get her little handout from the Real Change, Not Spare Change program, all the money that she allegedly got for the shelter this last year, she had to come out and publicly sell out and come up against all the other homeless groups in town. She's a sellout of the worst kind. She sold out, and she didn't get anything for it. You know, the homeless aren't any better off over at the shelter, but she sold everybody else out. They had to come out and make public statements in all the press against all the activists and all those terrible homeless protesters. She had to land-base these people, and she did it to kiss the ass of the status quo.
Wait one second, though. You're wrong, though. Somebody did make out much better since Karen's been there.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
She's got a nice car, man.
A nice brand-new car.
Brand-new car. You notice that?
Yeah, she's got everything.
Pulling in there. But yeah. Tinted windows. She needs some tinted windows, man.
Yeah.
And a driver.
And, I mean, you know, she has the bucks now and the political clout. And I'm sorry, Karen, but that is true. Karen does do what she does for political clout.
Yeah. She sold out those that have nothing.
Yep.
I think you may be referring, caller, to the fact that she endorsed candidates Linda Steinau, for instance, a downtown business person who was on her board of directors at the Homeless Services Center, who actually came out in favor of making it criminal for homeless people to sleep at night.
Yeah.
That Karen Gillette herself has never come out in order supporting the human right of homeless people to sleep at night. Her most recent comment to me was, well, my board wouldn't let me do it. But it would seem to me that since she actually hand-selected her board, the previous caller, I recognize her voice, is Becky Johnson. She was giving us information. She was previously on the board, and because of Karen Gillette's pressure, she and the other homeless woman who are potential critics of Karen were kicked off the board at Karen's behest. So I think Karen has very strong control over what goes on at the Homeless Community Resource Center, now called the Homeless Services Center. I think she has the power to essentially get what she wants from City Hall, particularly with this new group of people, unfortunately, who seem to have inordinate respect for her opinion. And for her to be worried that she has to get a lot of money from downtown merchants and can't get it from public areas, I think is either an exaggerated concern or really shows a bias on her part that she'd prefer to get it from more conservative agencies. Go ahead.
You know, sometimes it's not just the money, it's what you do to get the money. What she did more than just back a political candidate. She roasted everybody that was opposed to the views of the people that she was backing. Yourself, of course, included. But she came out publicly in all the local press, her little papers, you know. I remember very specifically her saying, you know, we have to do something for the homeless. We have to do it not like the activists, though. We have to not protest about it. We have to work together. and create real change.
Well, ironically,
all that change is created, no change.
Yeah, well, ironically, all her programs, or most of them, were created by protest. I mean, the reason we have a shelter, the River Street Shelter, was created because I was arrested and other people were arrested there in 1989 to open it up because Jane Immler fasted and in front of the town clock and protested publicly to get that opened up. I mean, it was protest that created these programs.
It's all founded on protest. And let me inject a point here in that that's the problem. Why are we not doing it for the people? Why is it only after the people scream and shout, make bad publicity, then people do something for the homeless? But because the homeless are basically a nondescript, non-existent section of the humanity, they don't complain, they don't harass, and the only way they get anything is if they do. And then they're told, oh, well, you're just a bunch of damn protesters. Well, you know, it's become the only way you get something is protest.
The squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Yeah.
All right, let me get off the phone. I just wanted to call up and bag on her because I think she's the biggest hippie crit in town, and we got plenty of them.
A hippie crit.
Well, keep listening.
Thank you, caller.
See ya.
Well, little Karen Gillette blasting here on the air. Karen, if you're listening, you're probably not because you're at home and out of range of the radio, but if any supporters of Karen or people who are take a more positive view of her leadership want to speak up on her behalf, I would encourage them to give a call to 427-3772 because I have to admit that I have been kind of delaying airing this tape, which I'm about to play for you, which has me and several people talking about the history of Karen Gillette and the Homeless Services Center, because I don't like dealing in personalities, I really don't, except if individuals take actions that have political consequences, then they have to be responsible for those actions. And it's not a matter of personalities, it becomes a question of, do you want those people with those particular political views in positions of power over other people? And that then becomes a public issue. I frankly think that Karen Gillette, I don't know. I think other people could do her job equally well, frankly, even though she has had a lot of experience at it. And given her hostility to activists and her coziness with downtown merchant types, I am really skeptical about how effectively she can really work for homeless people in this position. There's some who like to separate activism and social services and say, well, civil rights are one thing, and you got to have a bunch of people fighting for that, but then you got to have people on the other side fighting for social services and keeping a kind of hands-off view on the civil rights issue. I don't buy that, but even if I did, I would say that there would have to be a strict neutrality, and I don't see that really coming from Karen Gillette. I haven't seen it anyway. I know that, by the way, I'd like to give her a plug. I liked what she said at the last community city council meeting. That was in December 8th when she pointed out that there essentially was no shelter for a lot of people, and that was the reality of it. Even if there was a bed or two empty, it was because most people had given up applying or simply were ineligible to apply for the kinds of emergency shelter that was available, whether you're a person with a pet, whether you're a person with a late night job, whether you're a person who has to take care of their vehicle and so doesn't want to abandon it, whether you're a person who has to work and get up at a certain hour and you don't want to have to be woken up at 5 in the morning in order to stand in line for 2 hours if you're going to be working anyway, if you're a person who is a drinker, an unrecovered alcoholic. You need a place for shelter, even if you're a drinker, you know. Those people don't get into the programs. What do you think about that?
Also, the mentally handicapped. I mean, we dumped them all on our streets. Who's going to take care of them now? Well, we need to make a place. We're all humans. They all have a right to have some kind of shelter, have some kind of help. As armory manager, I had no problem. I took everybody. Everybody liked me, never had a problem at the armory. Back got some of the best commendations from Commander McClanahan, and I gotta tell you, these armory boys are some of the greatest people on earth. Okay, you may talk war guys, army, whatever, the guys that work the Army National Guard are some of the nicest, kindest gentlemen there are, and they've done a lot for the homeless.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just got a couple questions, you know. About Karen Gillette, does anybody know what her title is?
She's the executive director of the Homeless Services Center.
No, I believe you're wrong on that. She's the administrative executive director. Mike Bustos is the administrative director.
Okay.
Okay, you guys got to get your facts straight.
No, I'm glad you're calling in.
Okay, question number two.
Mm-hmm.
What about the back houses? I mean...
Community house.
Everybody, you know, is saying this, that, or another thing. First of all, you got to get your facts straight.
Okay. Give us the facts.
What the lady said is, yes, it is for, she is correct on the, people's house. But, you know, I have neither here nor there. I know more about HCRC than anything.
Okay, go ahead. Give us some stuff that we should know.
Well, see, you know, a lot of people, people are saying that they're not helping her. Or helping here. Well, she's not helping. Yes, she is. She feeds everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not.
Tell us about. I know she has a meal at 4, and I guess there's coffee in the morning.
8 o'clock breakfast and 7 o'clock and a 5 o'clock meal or a 4 o'clock. Excuse me, meal.
And now,
yes.
What kind of meal is that at 4 and at 7 usually? You know.
Oh, you mean the one from at 4 o'clock?
I'm sorry, the one in the morning.
The one in the morning.
Yeah.
It's either cereal or oatmeal.
Okay.
Donuts. You know.
That's what I understand was the case.
Yeah, we saved. We try to make sure that everybody gets fed.
Mm-hmm.
But
now you work at the center, right? Are you a worker there yourself?
No, I'm not.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just know a lot about what's going on.
Okay, well, good, good. No, I mean I'm always glad to get some information. James has a comment or two. Are you near a radio so you can hear his response?
No, I'm not.
Okay, well let me move it over here so he can actually talk to you. When you talk into the phone, James, you have to talk far away because your voice will come through too loud. So move a little closer. And caller, you can talk directly to James and you guys can have a conversation.
Okay. Mostly what we're talking about, though, is shelter services. We haven't got to HCRC yet. I have to agree with you, though, that there is a lot of people down there that do things, including the meal. Tell them about the meal. Tell them it's 4 o'clock. Tell them how nice it is.
It's all right. It's not the best in the world, but
well,
you're fed good.
It's free. Yeah.
Yeah.
No complaints over the meal at all.
Okay.
Absolutely. I'm glad you called in. We would have got to this point probably just a little bit further in. I just hadn't got to actually speaking of the good things there because the caller got off on Karen Gilletti.
Yeah, well, see, that's irrelevant.
And that, so they were discussing that. We still got time on the air, but yeah, they do a very nice dinner. I mean, maybe it's not the greatest in the world, okay?
Yeah, that's very
true. But it's free, and it's filling, and it's nutritional. Sometimes it stinks, to be honest. I've ate it, but you know what? It's free, and it is a meal. And it should be being done, and the people who work there, who are putting on that meal, including the lot manager, are great people. They care a lot about people, and I know they do, okay? And I got a plug for them because certain people, namely Kurt and Sonny, Frankie, you know, I can go on and on. These are good, good people, and they're working damn hard, okay? And don't you or anyone else ever let anyone say they're not, because they are. Just because some people, we get off on Karen, and if you know anything, you know Karen Gilletti's done some things wrong.
Well, nobody's perfect in the
okay.
world either.
So that when it was being talked there, it was being talked about Karen Gilletti.
Yeah, but it still kind of sounded kind of slanderous. She started this program from ground.
What about Calamity Jane?
Whoever Calamity Jane is.
Well, that's who started. That's who went to jail for the program. That's who started. Karen took it over from her.
And it's elevated.
Yeah, it's gone up from there. I'm not saying it happened, but you know, she didn't start it. She didn't go to jail for it. She didn't spend numerous times in jail. And she refuses to admit the fact that Calamity started it and was the beginner of it. And she refuses to admit the things she's done wrong. Do you agree with what the DTA did? With those little cards that had outdated services or non-existent services on them to be given out to people instead of spare change? That's Karen Gilletti. Point blank. Okay? Yes, I had a real problem with that. That's not how you help people. You don't give them a little card with non-existent services on it or services that you can't that are 2 and 3 years down the road. It's a person who's standing on the street starving.
Yeah, well,
we try not to make sure not that doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's why that place is there now. And that's why the things that go on should be neutral. Whoever runs that place has to be a neutral person.
That's exactly right.
And when they allow their feelings and their choices to hinder, or not hinder, but to influence how they're going to deal with it, or their politics, they're not the right person for the job. Because there are other people just as good who don't have the politics. People that will come out. And I challenge Karen Gilletti right here and right now on this radio to come out against the sleeping ban. To actually come out and not, because I know there are other people and who have stated that Karen Gilletti supports the sleeping ban. And right. I'm asking her to come out and refute that. To state it to the world that she does not support the sleeping ban. Now, I'm not saying that that she said it, because she's never said it to me.
No, she does not support the sleeping ban. Everybody knows.
But that. She's been asked to say that, and she's refused. One time it was on a claim of, well, her board won't allow her to say that.
It's a very valid claim.
But, well, if the board is making that claim, there's something wrong with that.
Well, that's the board. You know, she's
well,
the
she handpicked
the around a circle of
eight,
you know this.
She handpicked the board.
Oh, well, then you got to talk about the city board, too.
Yeah.
See, that's what that's
that's what we were discussing.
that's where it's all leading up to is the city board.
I'm going to pass the phone back to Robert, but I'm still right here.
Okay, I understand.
Okay, go ahead, caller. I don't mean to...
It's all good, man. I just, you know, like I said, there's a lot of lapses in some of the things that are being said.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't understand. You know, right now, if you say the wrong things, it'll screw you up in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the merger.
Yeah.
Think about that one.
Okay. Well, actually, it's interesting you should bring that up, caller, because we're about to play a kind of a long interview where two of the people who were ousted from the board, specifically because Karen wanted them off the board, will talk about the history of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless Community Resource Center, and Karen's management of the Homeless Community Resource Center, and before that, the Free Meal, when it was an independent group. And we'll be getting some historical background. And if you have anything you disagree with, if you have some new information, indeed, you're invited to call in again. I hope we're not making you spend all your quarters, though, on the payphone.
I'm not spending any quarters.
Good.
But, okay. you know, everybody's, from a ground floor up, it takes a foundation. We all know this.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to start building from there. And right now, it's kind of iffy, you know, because so many things got slammed right down on top of her head. She's buried. You know, what came down when the merger hit,
mm-hmm.
It buried her. She's just barely, maybe not even head deep in, she's still head deep in paperwork. Everybody knows this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and first you got to fight through the paperwork to get to the rest, to the meat.
Well, maybe she needs some volunteers to help her with the paperwork.
Well, see, that's the point. You know, there's not a lot of qualified people that can do that.
Well, if anybody listening wants to, who feels they have some work in working with grants and so forth, wants to help out Karen Gilletti, give me a call at 423-4833. Or actually, you can call Karen at 458-6020, which I believe is her number at the Homeless Services Center. And I think, you may well be right, caller. I know that, this bureaucratic nightmare of running a program is a problem. But I tend to look at the activist side of it. That is to say, when the people who helped create the program are being slammed by her, when she's supporting candidates that want to, in essence, cut back homeless rights, I get worried. And that's what I'm talking about. Like, look, Linda Steinau, who's on her board and who she supported for city council, she appears on her literature. If she can appear on Linda Steinau's literature, but she cannot stand up in public and say, well, my board doesn't want me to say anything about the sleeping ban, but I'm an independent human being, and I can say what I want. I'm not representing the board, but I don't think homeless people should be arrested for sleeping at night, particularly when
nobody
there's no
deserves
shelter.
To be arrested as sleeping at night, especially when I sleep out in the woods.
Well, I'm going to have to send the police to get you,
Yeah, they got to find me first.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I think a person with her experience and her prestige really needs to stand up and say that, even if she says that my board doesn't say this, but I just, as an individual person, say this. And I really think it would do a lot to help further the public dialogue on that, particularly since we have a city council that supposedly now favors in some way modifying or ending, you know, this crazy law.
You got to remember, that's only a beginning, man. You got to fight this thing through tooth and nail. It's not going to be easy.
That's true. That is very true, caller. Anything else you want to add?
Is there a way you can shut this line down so it's not on the radio?
There is. What we can do is, if you want to hold on, we'll begin playing the interview area, and then I'll talk to you off air.
Okay, because I need to tell James quick something real quick.
Sure, we'll do that. Hang on a second.
Thank you.
And we are at Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3, and that's where you are on the dial. And now let's hear a bit of interview around the issue of Karen Gillette. And we're going to be talking about the background of the Homeless Community Resources Center. Interview recorded a couple months ago. Stay with us and call in.
What an elegant ageist comment in your introduction.
Progressives are elected. With me today, I have two homeless activists who've been fighting for a while, one longer than the other, but both of them fighting hard for the rights of homeless people. Becky Johnson.
Hi, Robert.
And Linda Lamast.
What an elegant ageist comment in your introduction.
So, what prompted this interview was an article in the Mid-County Post, which folks out there listening on the radio may be able to pick up. It's a free bi-weekly. You can catch it at the Bagelry and Polar Bear and other little stores ranging from the Bookshop Santa Cruz to Logos. The cover story is called The Advocate, and it's about Karen Gillette, who is the executive director of the Homeless Community Resource Center, which recently merged with the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. And Becky, of course, you were on the Citizens Committee for the Homeless for at least 2 years. And Linda, you have been connected with numerous groups concerned about the rights of poor people and services for them, including Welfare Parents Support Group, once Welfare Mothers Support Group. You head a group called Housing Now in Santa Cruz. And I guess you both have looked over this article pretty thoroughly?
I don't know if my look was thorough, but it was quite intriguing. Yeah, I read the article. It was quite an adventure.
This article focuses on Karen Gillette, and it has to be called a kind of a hagiographic puff piece, that is a sort of a worshipful celebration of Karen Gillette, which is often the case when she is brought up in the media locally. She, I think, was declared a rebel saint or something in the Santa Cruz Sentinel a couple years ago, and she's...
What, 95? Some recent year she was Woman of the Year for one of the downtown associations.
The Chamber of Commerce, Woman of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
Which really brings up one of the questions I have, one of the concerns I have as a kind of a homeless activist concerned with civil rights, a civil rights type person. The candidates, three progressive candidates, Crone, Fitzmaurice, and Sugar, often have been quoting Karen Gillette and certainly sounding like they've been doing a lot of talking with her in their discussion of homeless needs, homeless rights, and homeless services. And there, this has concerned me because while I've always been pleased that there are services such as lockers, showers, meal, and other kind of a hangout place that Karen Gillette presides over because she is appointed and paid by the county to do so. I want to add that because another person could certainly take that job if they wanted, and if the county wanted, and the city wanted. Nonetheless, I, of course, there's been a problem with Karen in terms of the rights of homeless people in a broader sense in the community. She seems to have had a very close alliance with the merchants. Her board recently, when it merged with the Citizens Committee for the Homeless for the purpose of taking over the multi-million-dollar community house trailer project, bounced two people off the board who were, in fact, the most ardent homeless advocates, and one of those people was you, Becky.
Well, yes, I didn't make the ride to the merger. In fact, you know, maybe I'm just sensitive, but I kind of think that they were talking about me in this article here. It's called The Advocate. I think that's kind of a misnomer to call Karen Gillette an advocate, at least an advocate of homeless people. Anyone who hawked the Real Change, Not Spare Change program, which taught non-homeless people to offend homeless people regularly, is not someone I would call an advocate. I mean, if that's the kind of judgment she shows. But there...
Okay, it's October 21st, 1998. We're considering today the subject of homeless social services, in particular through the focus of an article in the Mid-County Post, the October 13th through 27th issue, called The Advocate. Karen Gillette took the cause of homelessness and turned it into a movement. With me in the studio is Becky Johnson and Linda LeMaster. And Becky, you were with the Citizens Committee for the Homeless for quite a while, and now you're writing for a Street Spirit newspaper?
Yeah, I was with CCH for about 3 years, and just ended my board membership this end of June, this summer.
And Linda, you're a mom who's raised three kids. You've been actively associated with a number of organizations, Housing Now in Santa Cruz, Welfare Parent Support Group, Community Action Board.
And Bag Ladies Revolt. Yeah, I've had a lot of help raising my children. This is a friendlier community in some ways than most for mothers who are poor or singular.
And with us on the phone, we have activist Shannon Cassamo. Hi, Shannon.
Hi.
And Shannon, how would you describe your area of expertise?
Area of expertise? Well, I'm not sure I'm an expert on anything. I've been a welfare advocate for years, and when I worked at the soup kitchen, I did helped participate in some organizing of street people,
mm-hmm.
where any of us knew Karen Gillette.
So let's begin with Karen Gillette, and not so much to make this a personality thing, but Karen Gillette is certainly a very important person in the homeless service provider community in Santa Cruz. She is executive director of the Homeless Community Resource Center. She recently acquired even more power after resigning from that post in order to pressure the CCH-HCRC combined board to fire certain members of the CCH board that she felt she didn't want on the board. And she was hired back at a sort of a step-up position where she not only oversees the Homeless Community Resource Center's free meal and phone services, lockers and showers, but she also oversees the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program and the multi-million dollar Community House Project. So she's really a key player here, and I've also been noticing that city council candidates, particularly the liberal ones, Fitzmaurice, Crone, and Sugar, begin to sound like they've been doing a lot of talking with her.
Yes.
Where should we begin with this discussion of a very powerful individual who, well, was the subject of a rather lengthy article and is supposedly, well, here, let's begin with this. She took the cause of homelessness and turned it into a movement. What do you think of that assessment?
I think Karen Gillette joined the movement quite early and was participating, along with Jane Inler, Mary Doyle, and Paige Smith, Paul Lee, were some of the more prominent people involved at the time.
Florida?
Mm-hmm. Founded the local food kitchen.
Well, I think that was one of the concerns you had, Linda. You felt that this article may have given the impression that Karen Gillette somehow is the primary source of the homeless movement in Santa Cruz, or the primary coordinator, and you feel this is not true?
To be candid, I'm not sure that Karen Gillette is aware of the movement that's on behalf of people who become homeless. She certainly hasn't stuck up for their civil rights. She hasn't advocated for anything that someone at HRA or some other up above political influence didn't tell her about. I think she's done a good job, but I've never seen her job description. But she's nothing about the leadership that the media is giving her credit for. I think Mary Bryan is just the latest in the most words about how Karen has been posed. And I don't know to what extent she's a party to it and to what extent she's being used, but she's being posed so that the merchants don't have to deal with their part of the community's responsibility to impoverishing and pauperizing people, not to mention destroying and freezing people.
The merchants, what do the merchants have to do with this, Becky?
Linda Steinau is on the board of directors of the Homeless Community Resource Center, and she's past president of the, or executive director of the Downtown Association. That's a cozy arrangement this article was about Karen Gillette. It's called The Advocate, maybe. It doesn't say she's the homeless advocate. In reality, Karen is more of a merchant advocate than she is a homeless advocate.
Why would you say that, Becky?
That she's facilitating having homeless people not be in downtown areas, by some of the language that was used in this article, where she's describing homeless people as wretched adults and trolls, and rather than objecting to that kind of language, the article says Gillette just agreed with the merchants that, oh yes, it's terrible to have these wretched people in front of your stores asking for quarters.
Shannon, any comment on this?
What she said.
Right, well actually the it's not directly in quotes. We're looking at this two-page article by Mary Bryant. And we haven't yet contacted Karen directly. Karen's often very hard to reach. But I guess you're turning the page here, Becky. Is something you want to point out?
Well no, actually, you know, I did contact Karen Gillette and asked her via fax whether the article was quoted correctly or if there are any omissions. And that was about 2 days ago, and she hasn't responded, so she's letting it stand.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know you had some communication with Karen Gillette previously when you were on the opposite sides of the real change, not spare change issue, which is, of course, the little yellow slips of paper that merchants gave to tourists and shoppers to give out to homeless people, in essence saying, don't bother me asking for change. Here's a list of services you can go to instead. Grow up or get out. I mean, I'm being a little dramatic, but...
No, you're not. You're adding a few words, but you're saying about what those little chips said. Shannon, did you ever get to see one of them? I found one at a payphone, and I'm sure whoever was at the payphone just before me must have been through a dollar before they realized every number on that referral list is 7 or 6 or something. It was going to give you another place to refer to, and none of them had any services that didn't take a long waiting list. Because I have had contact with them, too.
We're referring to a kind of a program used in numerous cities to sort of, essentially, usually merchant-instituted, which encourages people not to give away to spare changers, but not to feel guilty about not giving away to spare changers. Any comments on that, Shannon?
Well, usually I give spare change, sometimes I don't. I don't feel guilty. Why should I feel guilty?
I mean, I think the idea is to encourage people to come downtown and shop and to discourage panhandlers, that is to say, poor panhandlers, rich panhandlers, of course, who call you on the phone, don't seem to be included in this, like telemarketing people. But poor panhandlers are definitely considered, I guess, an eyesore and an obstacle to the redevelopment of the downtown. This is what I've heard from numerous people, and I suspect that...
I think that what the merchants are doing, and this is plain playground bullying. That's how policies have been made a lot, including part of Vision Santa Cruz. What I see are a bunch of merchants who wish they were some elite sector of the population, trying to dictate their aesthetic on everyone else, and not even listen to and consider elements of what someone else might think is beautiful. I think a circle of people is a lot more pretty than Christmas lights all year long when they got them arranged in a prison row. And nobody listens to my aesthetic. They have young kids going to jail because the walls are their only place they can express themselves, and they're criminals if they graffiti. I mean, I don't like people messing up my paint job either, but that's not the solution to the aesthetic, you know. One little set of people don't get to own it, especially not in the West, in a town that pretends to be progressive.
Well, Karen Gillette, and I'm going to play the devil's advocate here since we seem to have numerous critics of Karen, and Shannon, you seem a bit more neutral on this issue. Is that accurate?
Kind of. Nowhere as well as you guys do.
Mm-hmm. candidates are running for office, obviously you're talking a lot with Kieran. And I, for example, one of the key issues in this campaign for some of us, though apparently not for the candidates, but key enough for the Downtown Association to ask five different times to five different people, is the issue of the sleeping ban, the city's ordinance criminalizing sleeping or covering up with blankets after 11 o'clock at night in the city limits of Santa Cruz and prescribing a $162 fine for the first offense up to 6 months and a $1,000 fine maximum in jail for the second offense within 48 hours. This is a law that has been... Well, this is a law that's been hotly opposed by homeless advocates for two decades since it was passed or codified in its current form in 1978. And it's been on an election issue since 1988 when Jane Immler, a homeless advocate whose hunger fasts helped to start the Cedar Street Cold and Rainy Night Shelter when it was operating back in 1985 for that year, and then the River Street Shelter, which has been operating ever since.
I have to put the phone down again for a minute, but don't go away.
All right, we'll keep you on the line there, Shannon. Just let us know when you get back. So the sleeping ban is a big issue. Karen Gillette has been sort of talking to the candidates, and we've heard initially the candidates talked a lot, these three progressives who may well sweep into power as a slate. I certainly hope they do. They were talking about ending the sleeping ban. Now I hear Keith Sugar, for instance, talking about homeless services and not bringing up the issue of the sleeping ban himself because he doesn't want to waste a lot of time on it, but he will vote for it if someone else brings it up. Could this be the influence of Karen Gillette?
Robert, I heard that whole thing a little different than you, but it would lead to a yes. What I saw is, you know, 1 week at the Peace and Freedom Party's public forum, he was saying he was interested in learning as much as he could about the issues that impact homeless people, and he'd like to be in touch with some homeless people. And the next time I have to get it together to go to another forum, he's totally saying exactly what Karen Gillette always says to the Sentinel, and probably was saying to Mary Bryant, only Mary elaborated on it in her own perspective, I guess.
What is that?
It appears to be 90-proof ignorance when it comes to any homeless movement, or what's gone on here in terms of the funding, the number of workers involved, the number of volunteer hours as opposed to paid staff hours, the conduct of some of the people who have worked for Karen and in the other temporary shelters that have been made. You know, anybody that keeps their sanity like Bob Campbell is a fucking hero because most of us have really fallen on our faces. Jane Emily was like not able to get hospital care for injuring herself at the time Karen went behind her back to the Board of Supervisors to finalize this deal that they'd obviously already talked about of taking control of something the community had cooperatively created and Jane had fought for legalization of so that we were legally there on grounds that had been bought for homeless people and sat fallow for years and years while the title goes back and forth for whose coffers.
Now you're talking, of course, about the kitchen, the county certified kitchen that was a subject of great controversy in 1990 when Calamity's Cupboard, run by Jane Immler, was replaced by Karen Gillette's Free Meal because the county decided they wanted to deal with Karen Gillette after Jane Immler had begun the high profile civil disobedience protests in order to get the county to provide the certified kitchen that they refused to provide for the last 6 months.
It's right here in the article. She said, we had a big, huge fight with the activists and kind of split off. That was 1990.
So, you know, we
were... And then we started the free meal program. So I guess in that little dot, 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 that was Jane Immler.
Well, that was more than one big fight, I'll tell you.
Well, but however, the question I asked you and I was asking, and what you're saying is very important and interesting, but talking about the sleeping ban and the impact that Karen Gillette seems to have had on that, I can say that two, three years ago, a number of us went to her Homeless Community Resource Center board seeking an endorsement of modification of the language of the sleeping ban. We didn't at that time have the actual repeal language that was later codified and put into the initiative. We had somewhat stronger language, and that language was, we just asked that sleeping not be made a condition, a definition of camping. Her board and she also apparently rejected that. She has never spoken out publicly against laws that criminalize sleeping. And this seems to me a very strange position for a social service provider, particularly for a person who I feel whose funding is really guaranteed by the city and county. There is about as much chance of the city and county cutting off Karen Gillette's funds as there as there is of Rotkin, you know, electing me to the city council with a majority vote of his faction. The point is that the Her Homeless Community Resource Center, which held closed meetings for its first 3 years, refusing to let people into the meeting unless they were specifically passed by Karen Gillette as the kind of the gatekeeper, this board gave us 15 minutes to present our case, and there were five of us who presented a case, each an articulate spokesperson, including nationally famous writer, including other homeless activists locally, including myself, and her board came up with no support for ending the sleeping ban, and she came up with no support for it. Now, one would think that a homeless advocate would first and foremost be concerned about the rights of homeless people, and as I said, this concern that supposedly her funding will get cut off is, I think, completely bogus. Unless we are considering, and this may be, and looks to me like it's closer to the truth, I'd like your reaction, the three of you, is it true that she is really looking to cement close political and financial ties with the merchant community? It appears that she, for example, is one of the few homeless activists that has endorsed, I don't call her an activist, homeless-related individuals that has endorsed Linda Steinau, whose name is really anathema to most homeless people. Even though Steinau is on the Homeless Community Resource Center, Steinau favors laws that make it illegal to sit down. Steinau favors more police on the streets when police are getting no guidelines as to how to respect the rights of homeless people. But anyway, I've made my point. But you know, before we jump to another subject, I think you had a very good point, which was you were talking about the funding for Karen Gillette's Homeless Community Resource Center, Linda.
This is a position I have about homeless funding in general in our county and region, and particularly in the programs, as I've, from what I could see, developing at the Homeless Ghetto, which includes Karen's Day Center program. I think that there's thin ice in the local nonprofits and the county and city governments. The city, for example, has no real program evaluation capacity, yet they keep giving more money to those programs without any criteria or expectations. It's just like they do with the contractors, and that's why poor people can't live at the St. George anymore. The city doesn't know how to make a good agreement, and so they're not even clear, neither the staff nor the council as a whole, what their next move is going to be, trying to keep federal and state funding. Not just because those entities keep changing the rules or what they want to pay for from 1 year to the next, but because, you know, you never know when all of a sudden the Clinton administration is going to give enforcement money, and someone's going to come here and say, you spent $3,000 on toilet paper in 1 month, and we won't have any answers. And I'm speaking as a community as well as that or any certain program.
So you were saying that not only does the money come from the city, the county, and the merchants to fund the Homeless Community Resource Center, but also that there are requirements. Shannon, did you have something you wanted to say?
And we are interrupting this previously taped interview, which actually is from a couple months back, between activist Linda LeMaster, Shannon Cosamo, myself, and Becky Johnson, are on the issue of an article in the Mid-County Post on Karen Gillette as the advocate, the homeless advocate, to take a call. Hi, caller.
Hi, Robert.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
Well, good. Please, what are your thoughts on what you've been hearing? Or what would you like to say?
I was having this discussion with a homeless advocate recently, and she was really upset about the lack of consideration for the homeless in Santa Cruz. And I said, well, let's just take a suppose if. Suppose that Santa Cruz accommodates every demand that the homeless make. I mean, everyone, right up and down the line, so that no homeless person has any complaint left. And, you know, within a very short amount of time, there'd be a million homeless people here. And she said, so what? I said, so what? At the time, we were doing habitat restoration out on the gray whale, in the Gray Whale State Park, removing French broom. And it's very labor intensive, very, very labor intensive. And I said, so what? We might as well not even be here doing this. This would all be paved over. To which she had no reply. So the point I'm making is one place can only do so much before it becomes a magnet, even by the at least some homeless people's acknowledgement, the magnet effect is a real thing. And I gotta say, I got myself a vasectomy and I had no kids. I'm poor, I can't afford kids, I didn't have kids, and I got a pretty good life. I got time left over to go out and do things like habitat restoration on a volunteer basis, which I most certainly wouldn't have if I had kids. So my compassion for the homeless is somewhat mitigated by the idea that it seems to be a gimme, 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 and it's never a what can I do for someone or something else. So that's what I'd like to say about all that.
Do you want to want a man in line and have a colloquy with James here?
I surely.
James, are you near a radio? Can you hear him? Or do you need to hear him on the phone? Caller?
Oh, I can hear.
Oh, good. Okay. Go ahead, James.
Well, you know, what you say is good. I'm very pleased to hear that you do habitat restoration and that you are comfortable, and I take it you're leaning towards elderly, or at least, you know, older than 40, say, and that you have a nice life. It's very nice. But what you say we shouldn't help the homeless, because if we help the homeless, then other homeless will come here. So what you're saying is that if another town does something wrong, then we should do wrong also, so that we don't get those that come from that town, because we're doing right.
You're
well,
missing
two
my
wrongs
point.
Make a right.
Go ahead, caller.
You're missing my point. I didn't say we shouldn't help the homeless. I said there are limits.